I'm going to call the meeting of May 18th of the KPFA LSB meeting board into business. The first thing I'd like to do is to welcome Sherry Gendelman back onto our board. And at this time, I would request that Carol call roll call.
Thank you. Sharon Adam asks for an excused absence. Emma Ayer. We'll come back. Daniel Borgstrom asks for an excused absence. Donna Carter.
Present.
Donna here. Michael Chang.
Here.
Michael's present. Cheryl Davila.
Present.
Cheryl's present. Fred Dodsworth asks for an excused absence. Donald Goldmacher. Leslie Howard asks for an excused absence. Zach Caldevier.
Present.
Zach is present. Lily Kimura.
Present.
Lily is present. James McFadden.
Present.
James is present. Elizabeth Milos.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Elizabeth.
I can't hear you very well.
Elizabeth, yeah, you're present.
I am present, and also Steve Zeltzer is asking for an excused absence. He has internet problems. He's all the way in, in the air right now, flying, so he can't.
Oh, thank you for letting me know, Elizabeth. Okay, Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Darlene is present. Candace Schott?
Here.
Candace is present. Catherine Tuktakin.
Here.
Catherine is present. Mark Van Landuit. We'll come back. Anthony Fest.
Here.
Anthony is present. Philip Muldari.
Here.
Philip is here. Darlene Pagano.
You already called Darlene.
Sorry. Brian Crowell asked for an excused absence. Frank Sterling. We'll come back. Richard Walensky. We'll come back. Sherry Gendelman.
Here.
Sherry, is present and welcome back. And Christina Huggins, treasurer.
Here.
Christina is present, and Carol Wolfley, I am present. And Antonio Ortiz will join us if he can, and he is also making a report through his video.
Okay. Are you done, Carol? I forgot to mention that all people from other stations, from the PNB and LSB, are invited to identify themselves.
Yes. Is there anyone present who is on the PNB or one of the LSBs from another station? We invite you to identify yourselves. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the next item is...
Madam Chair, excuse me. Yes. Could the people who are coming in by only their phone numbers, can they put their names on their little square?
Because of the bylaws, thank you. Because of the bylaws, we do not ask people to identify themselves at a meeting, but we do ask people in governance to identify themselves. So if there is anyone in governance calling in from a phone, we do ask you to identify yourself.
Thank you for the clarification, Ms. Wolfley. Now, at this time, is there any opposition to the agenda that was passed out to everybody?
Yes.
Who's that speaking?
Elizabeth Milos.
We should propose an amendment.
Okay, what's your amendment?
My objection to this agenda is that there was no discussion with this LSB regarding the contents of the town hall. If it's an LSB town hall, then there should be a discussion by the members of the LSB in terms of the content of this town hall and the participants and things like that. And so this, again, it feels like the supermajority is making decisions about the content of the town hall without consulting the rest of us.
Okay.
Point of information?
Yes, Ms. Wolfley.
I just want to share that town halls are mandated in the bylaws, and the officers of the LSB are responsible for creating agendas. We normally have our town hall in July, but because the chair may not be available to chair during July, we went ahead and had the town hall at this time, and using Robert's Rules of Order town hall procedures. Thank you.
All right.
Hang
on. Let me speak. I see hands up. I assume these are for amendments to the agenda. So we'll start with Anthony Fest.
No, my hand was raised earlier, but I didn't get called on. I'm just curious about the roll call. Member Sherry Gendelman was welcomed back. I didn't know she'd been away. So how is she back?
She was suspended from the board for a certain period of time, pursuant to Pacifica, and this is her first meeting back as a board member rather than of council. Ms. Carter?
Yes, I submitted a motion previous to this meeting to Carol Wolfley and the entire board, and I wish to have it as part of the agenda.
Okay, normally in the past, Ms. Carter, what we've done is added to the new business. Is that acceptable to you?
Well, is there another choice?
Not really. I'm just telling you what the chair has done in the past with the new motions, with anything added to the agenda.
Okay.
Can I raise my hand?
Okay, Ms. Carter, I'm still waiting for your answer. But are you?
She said yes.
Okay, yes. So we'll add it on to new business. So
I would like to change the order of that, if possible.
Okay, Ms. Milos, do you have your hand up? Okay, I'm calling on you. We're going to approve the agenda. Do you have anything else to add to the,
Generally, the new business does never gets taken care of in this
case. That's not true. You did your new business last time, ma'am.
You're right. You're
okay.
Right, and I appreciate that.
So, having that, I'm going to, approve the agenda.
Madam Chair, point of information. Madam Chair, point of information.
Yes.
Can we clarify? Does Cheryl Davila have her hand up?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I'm wondering why Sherry Gendelman was suspended. Can we speak to that?
That's not an order at this time. You know, we're just welcoming her back to the board. I told you that she was in the past suspended. Pursuant to something from the Pacifica matter. So that's not an item on the agenda. So the agenda has been approved. And Ms. Wolfley, will you discuss the issue regarding the minutes, please?
Excuse me, point of order. There was no vote to approve the agenda.
Is there any objection?
Is there any objection to the approval of the agenda? Ms. Carter had an objection. She wanted to add on to it. I told her that normally in the past, we've added it on to new business. She said, okay. And then I said, is there any other objections to the agenda? Nobody objected.
Lisa Milos objected earlier.
Put it to a vote.
What was your objection?
Is there any objection now?
Is there any objection now to the approval of the agenda?
Yes.
Yes. Well, what is your objection?
Put it to a vote.
Okay, look, we're not going to mess around with this. Let's take it to a vote. We can take a vote to approve the agenda. It will require a two-thirds vote. Ms. Wolfley, will you please call the roll?
Point of order?
There's no point of order. We're taking a vote. State your point.
Generally, when somebody objects, they have the position, they have the right to say what their objection is.
The agenda is not debatable. Just put it to a vote.
Let's put it to a vote. The objection.
Is Emma Eyre here?
You're voting,
whether or not to approve the agenda.
Yes.
Those in favor. Yeah, okay.
Donna Carter?
Pass.
Michael Chang.
Approve.
Cheryl Davila. Fred, is Don Goldmacher here? Okay, Zach Caldvier.
Yes.
Lily Kimura.
Yes.
James McFadden.
No.
Elizabeth Milos.
No.
Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Candace Schott.
Yes.
Catherine Tuck-Talkin.
Yes.
Mark Van Landwet. Mark isn't here. Anthony Fest.
I vote no.
Anthony, no. Philip Muldari.
Yes.
Philip, yes. Frank Sterling, are you here? Richard Walensky, are you here? Sherry Gendelman.
Yes.
Sherry, yes. Okay. Going back to Donna Carter.
No.
And Cheryl Davila.
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay, so I have yeses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And noes. 8, 5, 10, 11. Seven. And four. Okay. So the motion passes.
So the agenda is approved, and we'll move on to the next order of business, which is the minutes. And Ms. Wolfley, will you explain the minutes, please?
We don't have minutes for this meeting. Pacifica was late in posting the audio recording, so we will have minutes for the next meeting.
All right, thank you. We'll move right into the presentations, and the first presentation will be done by Antonio Ortiz, who is our interim general manager. I understand his is going to be done by video.
Yes. Peter, can you post the video? And is the meeting being recorded?
Yes. We
can't hear it.
Can't hear anything.
Welcome everybody to the local station board town hall. I am the interim general manager, Antonio Ortiz, here with the report to the board on May 18th, 2024. First and foremost, I want to say that the station is going to be opening up to all staff. Pacifica Foundation, Inc. has acquired general liability insurance in March, and KPFA will begin allowing programming staff into the station starting on Monday, July 1st. Guests on programs will continue to be limited. We are excited for the first step in the station reopening to staff and guests. Updates and announcements will be made at future LSB meetings, on the deck, and within station communications. There's a new listener survey. The May to June 2024 listener survey is the second of a series of quarterly surveys, and it is available on kpfa.org. Our listeners are invited to participate and complete it by midnight on Sunday, June 30th. You can find the survey on the station's website under the drop-down menu titled Listener Survey. Or when the station is not in FunDrive, you will see it at the top of the website's front page. The goal of the online survey is to gather your listening preferences and learn more about you, our listener. We need one submission per person, and it should take no longer than 15 to 20 minutes to complete. If you have any issues accessing the survey, please call 510-848-6767, extension 200, for assistance. Station fund drives and finances. The station's overall fund drive goal for calendar year 2023 was $2,219,000. The station received $1,944,179 in listener pledges, which is negative 12.38% short of the goal, or $274,821 short. In general, the station costs $300,000 per month to operate, and we received a few bequests that helped bridge the gap, as well as provide enough savings equivalent to at least 1 month of reserves. Maintenance and repairs. There are a few items that need to be addressed at the station, and the management team is working on getting quotes for the following. A new elevator for 1929 MLK Junior Way, tower painting to stay in compliance with the Federal Aviation Administration at the antenna site on Grizzly Peak, and upgrading the station's website, kpfa.org. As you can imagine, all of those are going to be high-priced ticket items. Pacifica Board Elections. Pacifica Foundation, Inc. and KPFA will have local station board elections this year, and this is a reminder that a minimum of $25 donation between July 1st, 2023 to June 30th, 2024 will give member listeners voting privileges. If you have not made a minimum $25 donation, please do so by midnight on Sunday, June 30th. Listeners can go to kpfa.org, click on the menu, and within Support KPFA Today, click on Make a Donation. Or you can make a donation during the Spring Fund Drive, which ends on Friday, May 24th. Finally, location of General Manager Reports. Today's brief report and previous reports are located on kpfa.org. You can find it within the website's menu under About. From there, click on the General Manager's Report, and you will find a post with links. Thank you to everyone for participating in today's Local Station Board Town Hall. I look forward to hearing more.
Carol, has Lily dropped off the call?
Okay, coming back, we have a problem because we're having some technical problems and we'd like to take a 5 minute break and come back in 5 minutes because of our technical problems. We accidentally started the town hall presentations early. So we are going to take a five-minute break and come back at 11:30 for the town hall. Do not leave your Zoom. Just come back in 5 minutes to start the town hall, and we will start. Because people will be joining the town hall. The public will be joining the town hall for our town hall meeting. So
point of information.
Pardon me? My understanding is we're coming back in 5 minutes. I have 11:26, so we'll be back in 4 minutes.
Well, what about the rest of the agenda? Because Sherry,
No.
It was mentioned that the town hall official would start in 5 minutes.
No, not the town hall starts at noon.
The town hall starts at 11:30.
I would ask Carol to stop interrupting the chair, please.
The 11:30 is the exact time certain for the town hall introduction with the presentations. And I think Ms. Wolfley is what is worrying Ms. Wolfley is people are going to be entering the town hall at 11:30 and will be missing these reports from Antonio and Christina, Zach, Sherry, and Carol. So that is why we are taking now down to 3 minutes, and we will, you guys can all take your little bathroom break, and we'll be back at 11:30. Thank you.
The question from Donna. Can you please respond to the question from Donna?
I did not hear the question from Donna.
The question is, what about the rest of the agenda, which has not been addressed before the town hall starts?
We're going to be taken up after the town hall, the rest of the agenda. The town hall ends at 12:30 at public comments, when public comments is done.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
I would like to take a minute just during the break to respond to Cheryl Davila's question about Sherry Gendelman being suspended. Yeah.
Point of order.
So, is that okay, Madam?
Yes, that's okay with the chair, since that's been questioned by not only by at least a couple members of this board. Please proceed.
I would like to be able to also provide information.
Milos, you're out of order. You're out of order. Please respect the members of the other board members. Ms. Wolfley, please address the issue.
Okay. There was a Sherry Gendelman has been our, she's been our counsel for the local station board for the past year and a half. However, she has not been a voting member of the local station board. And what happened was that Sherry Gendelman, and others are, part of Pacifica Safety Net, and Pacifica Safety Net submitted a petition to the, FCC regarding possible violations of fundraising and business practices at Station WBAI. And after there was an investigation and a letter of inquiry and information, and it was found that there were violations at WBAI, and there has been a $25,000 penalty to Pacifica for the violations. There has been a lot of misinformation saying that...
Point of order. Carol Wolfley was also signatory to the letter, and she also sent letters to the FCC, so she's not the appropriate person to be giving this information.
I would like to continue. So what's happened was that Sherry Gendelman was suspended because of writing that. I did write a letter to the FCC saying that I had brought this attention to the PNB two times, had written letters, and my letters were not responded to by the PNB regarding these FCC violations. So there were inside inquiries about this matter, and although Pacifica National Board did not investigate, they took retaliatory action against myself and Sherry. Sherry's time of suspension has been is over. Thank you. It's 11:30. I think we can now go into our town hall meeting if you're ready.
Thank you very much. The first report is with Antonio Ortiz.
We already did the report, the Antonio report.
We're doing it again because
we're doing it again. Okay. Because
we, yeah. We're doing it again because of the new people entering.
Give me a moment.
And please jack up the sound. It was very quiet the last time it played.
Yes, yes, I agree. I could barely hear it too.
Chair, if I might be recognized briefly, Christina Huggins here.
Yes, Ms. Huggins, quickly.
Just wanted to let you know, Elizabeth, Emma, our, just texted me and asked for an excused absence. She got stuck in traffic and she won't be able to make the meeting.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Ms. Wolfley, did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Thank you. I'm marking it.
Thank you.
Welcome, everybody, to the Local Station Board Town Hall. I am the Interim General Manager, Antonio Ortiz, here with the report to the board on May 18th, 2024. First and foremost, I want to say that the station is going to be opening up to all staff. Pacifica Foundation, Inc. has acquired general liability insurance in March, and KPFA will begin allowing programming staff into the station starting on Monday, July 1st. Guests on programs will continue to be limited. We are excited for the first step in the station reopening to staff and guests. Updates and announcements will be made at future LSB meetings, on the deck, and within station communications. There's a new listener survey. The May to June 2024 listener survey is the second of a series of quarterly surveys, and it is available on kpfa.org. Our listeners are invited to participate and complete it by midnight on Sunday, June 30th. You can find the survey on the station's website under the drop-down menu titled Listener Survey. Or when the station is not in FunDrive, you will see it at the top of the website's front page. The goal of the online survey is to gather your listening preferences and learn more about you, our listener. We need one submission per person, and it should take no longer than 15 to 20 minutes to complete. If you have any issues accessing the survey, please call 510-848-6767, extension 200, for assistance. Station fund drives and finances. The station's overall fund drive goal for calendar year 2023 was $2,219,000. The station received $1,944,179 in listener pledges, which is negative 12.38% short of the goal, or $274,821 short. In general, the station costs $300,000 per month to operate, and we received a few bequests that helped bridge the gap, as well as provide enough savings equivalent to at least 1 month of reserves. Maintenance and repairs. There are a few items that need to be addressed at the station, and the management team is working on getting quotes for the following. A new elevator for 1929 MLK Junior Way, tower painting to stay in compliance with the Federal Aviation Administration at the antenna site on Grizzly Peak, and upgrading the station's website, kpfa.org. As you can imagine, all of those are going to be high-priced ticket items. Pacifica Board Elections. Pacifica Foundation, Inc. and KPFA will have local station board elections this year, and this is a reminder that a minimum of $25 donation between July 1st, 2023 to June 30th, 2024 will give member listeners voting privileges. If you have not made a minimum $25 donation, please do so by midnight on Sunday, June 30th. Listeners can go to kpfa.org, click on the menu, and within Support KPFA Today, click on Make a Donation. Or you can make a donation during the Spring Fund Drive, which ends on Friday, May 24th. Finally, location of General Manager Reports. Today's brief report and previous reports are located on kpfa.org. You can find it within the website's menu under About. From there, click on the General Manager's Report, and you will find a post with links. Thank you to everyone for participating in today's Local Station Board Town Hall. I look forward to hearing more.
Thank you, Antonio. And our next report is with is Christina Huggins.
Thank you. Finance report. The report out from a recent executive session of the NFC is the NFC met with the executive director, national business manager, and WBAI general manager to begin the process required by the PNB to review the financial situation at WBAI. The committee discussed confidential topics regarding personnel, financial, and contractual matters. That was passed with no objection. The financial situation at WBAI is dire, as they are losing thousands of dollars a month, and they've been in deficit spending every year for the past 14 years. The recent emergency funding to pay WBAI's overdue tower rent with a goal of $250,000 has so far brought in about half that since April 8th. In April, GM Berthold Reamer sent out an email blast stating WBAI owes $150 to Four Times Square. The debt Pacifica carries was stated publicly by the executive director in March of this year as $6,683,279. Pacifica previously sold the Berkeley Nakupon building that formerly housed the Pacifica National Office rent-free and had been purchased by KPF donors to help pay for the Empire State Building lawsuit in New York and took all the proceeds from that. About a year ago, Pacifica sold the KPFT building in Texas and bought and replaced it with another building of less value. Pacifica has a buyer for the KPFK building in Los Angeles for approximately $2.1 million, but there is a lien on it as collateral for the EIDL loan taken out in 2021 by Pacifica. In March, the Pacifica ED stated publicly that Pacifica owed $2,751,644 on the EIDL loan, with back interest payments of $8,731, likely a higher amount now since March, and it had been sent to the U.S. Treasury for collections due to non-payment of the monthly interest fee. Pacifica's counsel is working to get the lien removed so they can consummate the sale, but the dates have been pushed out several times. That leaves two remaining buildings as collateral for the FJC loan, as well as all intellectual and physical property in them, including the archives. In March, Pacifica still owed $2,548,821 to the FJC, with past overdue interest at $440,000. That loan is now technically in default, but my understanding is that Pacifica is working with the FJC on paying the past due interest fees when the sale of the LA building is accomplished. The two remaining buildings are the Texas building, KPFT, and KPFA's Berkeley building. At the January Pacifica Strategic Planning Committee meeting, former WBAI PNB chair and director Alex Steinberg stated, "I don't think the focus should be on property. In fact, I think the focus should be to get away from investing in property because with modern technology, you need very little property to run a radio station." James Sagerton, former PNB director and chair of the NFC from WBAI, stated, "I think I agree with what Alex is saying there, and I think the same applies to the large staffs that we will still have at one of our radio stations. They don't need large staffs. You know, a lot of what we can do can be automated." I believe he was referring to KPFA staff that KPFA successfully is able to fund. They are what makes KPFA special and the robust reporting they do with no underwriting. Some directors from the failing stations are pushing for underwriting to be implemented, which I believe would be a big mistake. We are concerned the fact that Pacifica is currently illiquid. They may sell our building. The only two stations that passed balanced projected budgets for this fiscal year are KPFA and KPFT. KPFT in Texas has approximately 3,000 members. KPFA has 11,387 members. The other three stations, KPFK, WBAI and WPFW, all presented projected deficit budgets in the thousands. I was told KPFK in Los Angeles has lost more than half of its members in the past 2 years and is currently at approximately 4,600 members. I was also told that KPFK recently had a month-long fundraiser and brought in approximately $50,000. KPFA is in a fund drive currently with a goal of $450,000 and has until the end of next week to achieve that goal. So far, they have raised $237,505. And that is my report. I believe you're muted, Chair.
I'm not muted. Lily is muted. And now I can't hear you either.
Yeah, no, I said that. I believe
sorry, I am so sorry. Zach, you're next. Caldevere, sorry.
Okay, thanks. My name's Zach Caldevere. I'm a member on this LSB. I've been asked to talk a little bit about what makes KPFA News, Pacifica Radio, in general, such an important counter to corporate news. I thought I would pick up a couple specific examples that I think really tells the story. That's climate change and what's happening in Gaza. And then maybe just mention a couple things I'd like to see KPFA keep doing to keep it the way it is. I think probably a lot of us came here for the same reasons, as in IE to Pacifica, because we see the glaring failure of corporate news, which really is serving as an integral to the perpetuation and expansion of the corporate state. I think right-wing news, particularly egregious, cloak themselves in the guise of news, but really masquerade themselves as journalists while sacrificing truth at the altar of corporate profit, white supremacy, and neo-fascism. But that doesn't mean mainstream news gets a pass. They don their own costumes, proclaiming objectivity while peddling false equivalencies and typically censoring peace and justice issues, not only by what they choose to cover, but what they deliberately omit. And at the end of the day, they both serve the corporate master and the almighty dollar, and this leads to a very problematic results when it comes to news. And so let's look at Gaza. I recently wrote an in detail op-ed delving into a number of recent studies that came out, quantitative studies of how the American mainstream press is failing people on Gaza in particular. The Intercept did a major analysis. CNN and New York Times both had big leaks in terms of what their editorial boards were doing to telling their reporters to do, and Fairness, Accuracy, and Reporting did one as well. And what we found, what they found was, is just how I'm sure you would all feel when you see these stories, that rather than providing the kind of objective, fact-based reporting integral to an informed citizenry, the mainstream press is basically on Gaza is bombarding us with explicit and implicit biases, false narratives, dehumanization, and misdirection that really serves to justify, rationalize, and conceal the systematic oppression and extermination of the people of Gaza. And that comes out in all different kinds of ways. It means words like slaughter and terrorism and massacre, 60 times more applied to what Israel is doing than what Gaza, than what the Palestinians are doing. They also tell their reporters, don't ever do a story without mentioning October 7th first. So that gives the impression that every atrocity that Israel committed is a direct defense or of what happened on October 7th. And you can go all down the line. I'll spare you all of those today. For instance, the way our news covers climate change, no surprise here that it's, despite being the greatest threat to humanity the world's ever known, there's been recent studies that I remember just a couple years ago, the major network channels gave less than a minute for the entire year of coverage to climate change, despite that all you have to do is look outside your window and go to the Weather Channel or anywhere else and find out the enormous impact it's having, particularly on lower-income countries and marginalized populations. So how does that make Pacifica different? I think we all know this. It's one of the most dependable sources of fact-based information of the last 76 years, whether it's the House of Un-American Activities to Iran-Contra to women's rights to LGBTQ rights to Gaza, to Black Lives Matter, to the Iraq War, to corporate power, to climate justice, to Black Lives Matter. It has served to counter what we find on the corporate news. Obviously, on Gaza, there could be no bigger difference than what Democracy Now! Provides every single day, and what KPFA, as Christina alluded to a little bit, as the only full news department left in the network, KPFA, as Democracy Now! Does, provides this kind of ongoing coverage. And this is why a number of us on the board recently wrote a letter of thanks to that KPFA news staff that's still plugging away and doing the work for providing the kind of diverse, trustworthy, and contextualized coverage of Gaza that Americans deserve at a time when so many other media sources have so blatantly failed. And I would point on climate change. I was just watching Democracy Now! Last week, and they did a story on April being the hottest April in the history of the world, and that was the 11th straight month of each month being the hottest ever in history. I thought that was an extraordinary story that you might think deserves headlines on news apparatuses of all kinds, but I've never seen that reported anywhere else. So how do we protect what we've got? I think there's two things. I believe that we need to stay away from corporate underwriting. I think the network in some places have initiated a complex commercial underwriting pilot project, which I think is unwise. I think at KPFA, we have successfully blocked any corporate infiltration of our airwaves. And I think all Pacifica stations should follow suit and ban all corporate underwriting. I think PBS and NPR sometimes exemplifies the insidious effect that big money can have on independent news. And as soon as you start, it's hard to be critics of the corporate state while simultaneously depending on their money for survival. I think the integrity of the messenger is fundamental to the credibility of the message. That's one. And two, I think it's protecting KPFA staff, like Christina just alluded to, and trying to expand investigative news, not cut it down. And right now, our listeners, more than anything, tell us that they appreciate our KPFA news department, not that they like to see it go. And I think by strengthening and deepening our local news and public affairs, we will provide a clearer and more direct contrast with the corporate media and their failings. And so I would just conclude that as board members, at least as I see it, our duty is to help ensure that KPFA listeners and KPA staff have the resources and the support needed to continue to provide the kind of urgently needed objective fact-based news that these crises, climate and Gaza, get the coverage they deserved, and we all become more informed, better listeners because of it. This is why KPFA has more than twice the membership of any other Pacifica station, and in large part because we're the only station with a full news department. And that's because the listeners appreciate that, and it's the model we have to build on, not get rid of. I'll stop there.
Thank you, Zach. The next report is from Sherry Gendelman.
Thank you. I am part of a listener support nonprofit group, or at the time it was a California registered 501c3 nonprofit, Pacifica Safety Net. And as a member of that...
Point of order.
As a member of that organization...
Pacifica Safety Net has been attempting to put Pacifica into receivership.
But you silence Ms. Milos. She cannot interrupt the meeting simply
this
by...
This is this decision to have...
Order. Will you shut her up or cut her mic off?
This decision to have Sherry Gendelman present is absolutely...
Cut her off. Thank you.
This is Christina. May I ask that people don't speak out? They need to be recognized, and they don't just interrupt.
And she should not be...
Thank you.
She should not be...
You...
She... And represent... Specific...
Is there a way to...
No, there isn't. Could you go on?
Yes, I can. So, on behalf of the listeners and on behalf of Pacifica...
You're not speaking on behalf of the listeners.
A petition was filed. Could you shut up? A petition was filed.
I will not allow
FCC alleging concerns about violations listeners and support
you have a
across the
trying
country,
to
believe were occurring at Pacifica, one of the Pacifica 5 stations at WBAI in New York. The petition was filed in 2022. I was in violation of all whistleblower laws, removed or suspended from the board, even though I was elected by the staff of KPFA to be one of their representatives. After 2 years, the FCC entered into consent to
point of order. Point of
shut up.
Just ruled
the Pacifica Foundation entered into a consent decree with the CDC, and that consent decree.
Well, can you shut up, Elizabeth? I cannot hear Sherry Gendelman as long as Elizabeth keeps interrupting. Why isn't Elizabeth trying to cut off?
Kick her off.
Has been trying receivership.
CNET
has been attempting
not have the board.
Receivership. She should.
Point of information.
Ms. Milos, please be quiet or I will exclude you from the meeting.
Exclude
I will exclude
me.
You.
Do that.
Me too, because speaking. Because she has a specific
point of inquiry. Information.
I cannot mute her, Ms. Milos.
Trying to.
She can be put in the waiting room. Madam Chair, the waiting room.
Put her in the waiting room.
Please put her in the waiting room. Ms. Gendelman, I apologize. Please continue.
I would ask Sherry start her report over. She did not didn't have the respect she deserves.
Yes, okay. I agree.
That everyone deserves when they're speaking, including Ms. Milos. I am a part of the Pacifica Safety Net, and along with several other people from across the country at the five stations, members of all five stations, in 2022, a petition was filed with the FCC.
She should not be speaking. That woman should not be speaking.
It's totally out of her line to bring up the Pacifica. The whole thing is inappropriate for a town hall. That's what I wrote.
It's completely inappropriate.
Do not interrupt the reports, or I will stick you in the waiting room.
Please.
Please. Will you guys please try and act like you're over 2 years old and act like adults?
Are you so afraid to hear the report?
So the petition alleged certain violations that existed, we believed, those who signed the petition from members across the country, that certain violations of self-inurement were existing at the Pacifica station in New York, WBAI. That petition was filed in 2022 in retaliation and in violation of all of the whistleblower laws. I was then, because I signed the petition, removed or suspended from the KPFA LSB, even though the staff had voted to have me be one of their four representatives on the board, the staff of KPFA. After 2 years, the FCC addressed the elements of the petition that had been filed in 2022, and they entered into a consent decree with the Pacifica Radio Foundation, and that consent decree, among other things, included Pacifica admitting to all of the violations alleged in the petition. The FCC required Pacifica to designate a compliance officer who will oversee compliance with the consent decree. That compliance officer is John Almella. Many of those who enriched themselves in violation of FCC regulations are gone from the airwaves of WBAI. The FCC stated unequivocally, and Pacifica agreed, that an essential part of the consent decree was that the petition and process never intended to revoke or deny WBAI's license. That is part of the consent decree, and Pacifica agreed to that. Adopting the order and consent decree will have the same force and effect as any order of the FCC commission. Pacifica agrees that it is required to comply with each individual element of the consent decree. Pacifica has reporting, compliance, or non-compliance requirements that will begin, I think, 90 days after the consent decree goes into effect. They are required to have a compliance training program, and they are required to file compliance reports on a regular basis. We are hopeful that the elimination of violations of federal laws, which could result in the Pacifica Foundation having its licenses or the licenses revoked or removed, that those violations will now be resolved. And we are hopeful that with the elimination of the programs that were in violation of SEC regulations, that Pacifica can regain its stature within the progressive media community. That's the end of the report.
Thank you, Ms. Gendelman. Ms. Wolfley, your report is next. And when after your report, please segue into instructions to the breakout rooms, please. She's on mute. We can't hear you, Ms. Wolfley.
Oh, thank you. Peter, can you help me screen share, or do I need to try and screen share? I'm trying to screen share.
You should be able to do it on.
Okay, on pages. There we go. So you can see, can everybody see the screen share?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So the chart below shows the number of members at each of the Pacifica Network stations who donated $25 or more in the last election. And you can see that KPFA has 11,000 members. We had 2,000 voting. We have over 11,000 members. KPFA has 5,000. The other stations have 3,000, 5,000, 5,000. So KPFA has more than twice the number of members at any Pacifica station. Now, I want to look at, again, the money. The KPFA bylaws say that all stations are supposed to be self-sustaining as nearly as possible. And KPFA is self-sustaining. KPFK is self-sustaining, is not self-sustaining. KPFT is self-sustaining. They have a lot lower income. If you look, KPFA has over $1 million, almost $2 million in income. And you can look at the income of the different stations to see, and KPFT is self-sustaining. WBAI and WPFW are not self-sustaining. WBAI has very high debt, as does KPFK, which some of their debt has been paid down. So who pays national fees? KPFA and KPFT. The Pacifica Foundation owns all the signals, buildings, and assets of the stations. The Pacifica bylaws mandate for the local station boards to each elect 4 directors to the Pacifica National Board. That's not proportional representation based on the income or the number of members at the stations. Even though KPFA has twice the members and over 4 times the revenue, they have the same number of directors on the national board. This board is the board that makes major financial situations. So you have 3 stations that are deficit stations making major financial decisions. This has led to the financial disaster that puts our station at peril. 3 key issues that can be addressed in governance are policies to make all stations self-sustaining, bylaws reform for proportional representation based on the number of members at each station, electing national board directors, no taxation without representation. We're paying the most money, and we have we are in a minority in the voting. And we need policies that ensure respectful communication, and that means not disrupting meetings with people calling out and refusing to respect the rulings of the chair. And we need policies that address situations involving defamation and false accusation against board members and staff. It's very important for listeners to renew their membership and to vote in the next election to keep KPFA strong. So it's time to go into the breakout rooms. I'm going to stop my screen sharing. And I'd like to go over the rules for the breakout rooms before we go ahead. So there will be breakout rooms. You will select. You can choose to join a breakout room by clicking on it when it comes. There are 5 questions that will be asked during the breakout rooms. The facilitators for each breakout room will read the questions, and you can answer them in the chat one at a time. That's not a talking time. It's a time for writing. And then after the questions are answered in the chat, there will be time for people to share, taking 1 minute, and the facilitators will help with timing and calling on people during that period. If any of the facilitators have challenges, you're welcome to ask people to ask the meeting tech for help. Thank you.
It's my understanding that this 1 minute summary will be done after the public comments, and if we have time for it. If we don't have time for that 1 minute summary from each group, you will be, the alternative will be to send an email to the secretary regarding your thoughts. So at this time, let's go to our respective breakout rooms.
May I ask a question first?
Yes.
Was this announced on air?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
How often?
Okay.
I requested that information and haven't received it yet. Okay. It was during a fund drive, so it was a little bit more restricted, and it was posted, and an email was sent to all members.
Okay, let's go into our rooms.